The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, we're in the farewell discourse of Jesus, that place of great intimacy, Jesus with his disciples prior to his going to his death. We see any number of great little things. I think it's ours to hold on to as we do, including the great promises that Jesus makes to his disciples, and we have a whole bunch of them here, and it's all about love, right? It's all about love, and it's all about our being a new creation, indwelt by the Spirit, so as to be about God's work in the world, and I think we get a really good glimpse of that in the first reading. The first reading is, I mean, there are any number of peculiarities about what happens here with Paul and Barnabas and they're being worshipped as gods, right? We see they heal the man. Of course, you know, Paul first is perhaps inquiring or trying to intuit whether or not the man has what it takes to be healed, right? And what is he looking for? He's looking for faith. But he thinks that he has, and he calls out, right, "Stand up straight on your feet." And then he jumps up and walks about. Okay, and then everybody hears about it in Lyconia, and the cry comes forth, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Okay, they call Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes. Again, whatever, he's... You can go back and look at the attributes of the gods. It's interesting enough. The priest of Zeus, right, came out and brought oxen and garlands because he intended to offer sacrifice. Right, so this is okay. The gods have come down to us in human form. This idea should not be immediately dismissed. Okay, there's not a sense here. Okay. Paul and Barnabas reject the idea that they should be offering sacrifice to them. They're not the gods in human form. They're not Zeus and Hermes, okay? But there's something behind it that they don't refute, and that is that what in fact this is it. What do they say? It's a "Men, why are you doing this? We are of the same nature as you, human beings." Okay, so what they didn't refute the idea that great things such as the healing of a crippled man could be done, say, through them. They didn't refute the idea that they were plugged in actually to the power of heaven, which is stronger than Zeus and Hermes, right? I mean, it's stronger than made up gods. Sorry for all you Hellenists out there, but for all the made up gods of Greece and the rest. And this is powerful. We are of the same nature. So part of it is to say, okay, yeah, we healed that crippled man. You could too. You could too. We're the same nature as you. Yeah, that happened through us. But this is what God is doing. Okay, so this is a very significant passage, right? And then they say, "We proclaim to you good news that you should turn from these idols to the living God." Because they've turned from idols to the living God. And they then have this power at work in them and working through them. And likewise, the crippled man who has been healed by, say, the I say the invasion or being captured by grace, being won over by love, by charity, by having living faith. So yeah, this is of course the message that is going out to the Gentiles, to all the world. Okay, and you know, even with these words, they scarcely restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. I mean, this is an incorrigible people, perhaps, but they have seen the work of God. And they have their own context, right, in which they view it. It's very hard to let go of that. But all the while, the apostles are trying to shape the way that people encounter God and the grace of God and His handiworks. We get then more of an inside look, like the inner dynamic of the thing in the gospel, right, where Jesus in the farewell discourse is giving Himself to His apostles. And whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and reveal myself to him. Yeah? And then more, perhaps even part of the commission that we see being fulfilled in the Acts of the Apostles. Judas says, Master, then what happened? You reveal yourself to us and not to the world. And then we get another seeming non sequitur from Jesus. It's just like, what are you taught? This doesn't follow on from the question, doesn't seem to. He says, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him, make our dwelling with him. Okay, what's the idea? So they asked, Judas asked, Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Okay, so you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Yes, because I'm going to reveal myself to you. You're going to reveal me to the world. Okay, so there are many who are not in that upper room, right? There are many who are not there, gathered in close intimacy with Jesus. But they're not then, by virtue of the fact, left out in the cold. It can't be. Because, I mean, Judas, again, not the Iscariot. we have to say it. And as you know, I feel very badly for Judas. But Judas, not the Iscariot. So he said, well, what is this? Isn't this a world-changing movement? I mean, isn't this a world-restoring movement? I mean, this is, if you're carrying forth the promise and the purpose of Israel, then surely the world has to know about it. Right, and then the answer is there, to say, yeah, the world does have to know about it. Now, this makes a difference as it relates to our mindset for evangelization. You know what evangelization is, right? We have to proclaim the good news. The euangelion is the good news. Evangelization is the idea. You have to proclaim the good news, and I will say put some tight borders on that to say we have to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. We have to proclaim the good news of the kingship of Christ Jesus. We proclaim that good news by living under it and then advancing his rule. Right? We want to live under the rule of Christ Jesus. And living under the rule of Christ Jesus, we advance the rule of Christ Jesus. Everywhere, in every way, in every place, and every time. This is how it happens, right? It's a 1-2 step in that sense. Right? We ourselves have to be recipients of the good news. We ourselves have to live under the rule of Christ Jesus. And then we become witnesses to the good news, to the rule of Christ Jesus. Yeah, so it's not so simple as to say, well, yeah, I mean, I remember some guys in seminary would say, well, you know, I think everybody ought to be held to account to the gospel and to gospel revelation. That, you know, because it's like we all have it, the internet. So I mean, they, you know, it's not like they can't find the Bible. You know, it's like we're not a people of the book in that sense. Like you just have to, if you just discover the book, then you're going to be fine. No, we are people of the Word, and we're people of the Word made flesh. Which means that we see the glory of God as man in Jesus and as Jesus of Nazareth. Then we're drawn into relationship with him, and we're transformed by him and by the sending of his Spirit to be like him. People who are made to give glory to God with everything we've got. People to give our way freely in God's service. That is the revelation of God. Now, this is, say authentic evangelization. So yeah, it's ours to really live into this reality, right? I've told you this while I'm with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Now we'll be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. so as to enter into all truth, right, and live out then in as vibrant a way as we can in our cooperation with God's revitalizing spirit. You know, we're living out the fully human lives that we see so well described in the Acts of the Apostles, right? Again, lives surrendered totally to God and living totally for his purposes. This is where we are, and it's all, of course, the great gift of God. It's one of the most, I think, remarkable things about the Farewell Discourse is that we encounter all these truths, you know, in the context of gift, right? Jesus wants to give himself to his followers, right? He is the one who has chosen them. He's now equipping them and sending them, but he's sending them with the strength of his own Holy Spirit at work in them and working through them.